This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org.
Welcome, welcome to episode... Oh.
Hey, my line.
Let Steve say it.
No. Go ahead, Adam.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 85 of Taylor Talk. My name is Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
How you guys doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Good.
I'm pretty excited to start the first tier of our little Red Tour review. So just giving everyone a heads up, we are going to talk about the Red Tour in depth finally. It's been requested of us for several months, but we didn't want to ruin it for everyone. Now that the Red Tour in North America is over, we can finally do it. Anybody in Australia or New Zealand? I don't know. The show's usually a little bit different down there, isn't it?
Yeah, Taylor likes to mod it out, so it's probably going to be... Yeah, what they? I think they changed the set list. The stage design's usually different. At least it was on the last world tour. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out. So if you don't want to be spoiled, Australia, New Zealand, don't listen to the second half of this episode. We're going to do our news and mini segments and all that stuff before we get to that. So that way you'll be able to enjoy the rest of the episode. But if you don't want to be spoiled, don't listen to the second half of the episode. Just hit that stop button and rejoin us in a future week. So, opening it up with a trivia question, since we're talking about the Red Tour, Red North America, 66 shows. Does anyone know, and don't answer this yet because we're going to answer it at the end of the episode, does anyone know how many tickets were sold? How many people attended Red North America?
Ooh.
That is a toughie question.
Taylor said it during the last show. So if anyone was in Nashville, you should already know that.
I was there and I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No, I don't. I remember her saying it, but I don't remember the number.
All right, it was a big number.
It was a big number and we all cheered.
It was a big number we cheered for, and there's a reason I remember it, and we'll talk about that at the end of the episode. Just remind me. All right.
Okay.
So, Diane, what's been going on in the news lately, the Taylor news? Hey guys, this is Adam with a random insert. So just as we were about to publish this episode, something huge happened. Taylor has announced the first dates of the European leg of the Red Tour. First three shows are going to be in London at the O2 Arena on the 1st, 2nd, and 4th of February, and tickets will be on sale on October 4th. Taylor said you can go to taylorswift.com. for more information on that. Remember, guys, tickets on sale October 4th. Huge news, very exciting. Hint, hint, Taylor also said the first dates of the European tour. So let's keep an eye out for more announcements to come. And back to the regular episode.
Well, Diet Coke has released a sleek new can featuring Taylor's signature and one of her most famous quotes. The quote says, "If you're lucky enough to be different, don't ever change." So what do you guys think of this new Coke can style? Do you like it?
I think it's super cool. One thing I've noticed, though, is all the news articles are referring to it as Taylor's signature. It's not actually her signature. It's Taylor Swift in the Satisfaction font, which is the font used on her earlier album. So it's not actually her signature, but still kind of cool. I think it's really cool.
I like it.
Yeah, it's very sleek.
Adam, are you going to actually buy Diet Coke now?
It goes against everything I stand for, Steve.
You don't have to drink it.
I am going to buy a can and put it on display.
Yeah.
Diet Coke accomplished their goal. They got someone who would never, ever be a customer of theirs to buy a can. I tweeted a picture of it from the Taylor Talk account, and a lot of people are asking where to get it. Have you guys heard anything on that yet? Because I don't know if it's for sale yet.
I don't know. I haven't been looking for it.
Yeah,
take a look. Probably like Target would be a good place. It always seems like Taylor stuff appears there. And plus, isn't that the Taylor Diet Coke t-shirt at some point in time? Remember that whole contest a long time
ago?
Yeah.
So I wonder if they picked a winner for that. We'll have to research that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But for every person that tweeted us asking where we get it, I like quoted the tweet and sent it on to Diet Coke. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe Diet Coke should tell us. And, never got a reply.
Pointing fingers at the company.
There you go.
Well, they're the ones that should know where we can buy it.
That's a good point. They're probably too busy to answer right now, but they should. They should tell us. We can go and buy it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. What else, Diane? What else have we got?
We have one more thing. A magazine in the UK, Glamour, featured an interview with none other than Taylor Swift. In the article, Taylor talks about her portrayal in the media, her romantic life, and the haters. If you live in the UK, you can pick up a copy of Glamour UK on the newsstands now.
Haters gonna hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Taylor taught me.
She's just gonna keep doing her thing.
For sure. Thank you for the news, Diane.
You're welcome.
Kicking off our first mini segment of the episode, we have a voicemail from Hannah. Hannah, take it away, please.
Hey guys, it's Hannah. You know you're a Swiftie when you have to delete all 2,000 of your Taylor Swift photos in order to make room for the new iOS 7 update. It's so sad that it's so true. Bye, guys.
Well, not gonna lie, that makes the little Apple fanboy in me all tingly and warm and fuzzy inside, but I hope you had a chance to transfer those pictures to your computer or somewhere else so you didn't lose them before you deleted them.
Yeah, that sounds like it would have been a pain in the butt to delete all those.
One by one.
One.
That's how Apple does it for you. Unless you transfer them all to your computer, I think you can delete it when you do that. But
yeah, you can do delete all, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I'm still on iOS 6, just based off all the problems. They've already released two updates to iOS 7, and I guess there was more tweets about iOS 7, and mostly bad, but there was some good in there, too.
I think it works fine, Steve, and I have iOS 7 and all my Taylor pictures on my phone, all right?
You would be Mr. Apple fanboy.
All right, whatever. Steve, what's the next one?
All right, the next one comes from Hero I Am, and it says, you know you're a Swiftie when you're singing Sparks Fly in your head in the hallway, and when you drop everything now, you actually drop your books on the floor.
Oops.
Oops. The next one comes from Beatrice via email, and she says, you know you're a Swiftie when you dress up in your red tour costume for your school's pep rally because you're a senior and the color for seniors is red.
Ooh.
Hey, that's one way to recycle costumes. If you put all that effort into making your costume, you don't want to just throw it away, right?
Right.
So, Beatrice, I'm curious to know what everybody at your school thought about that. So if you're listening, can you send a follow-up email to taylortalk@taylorswift13.org and, you know, just let us know? Because merely for curiosity more than anything, I'm curious.
I'm sure they liked it. I'm sure she did a good job with her costume.
It was. She actually sent it along with a picture, but I'm
oh,
not
Oh, really?
Going
what was
to...
the picture? What did no. it look like?
It looked,
yeah, we didn't see the picture.
It looked, hang on, let me go into the email. You guys are killing me.
Well, it'd be so much better with a picture.
It would be, but I'm not about to like publish a picture of one of our listeners online here. So,
episode guide.
I mean, if it's okay with her, and we can talk about it. Just
let's see. So it has cat ears, some red cat ears, and she has her nose painted black and some black whiskers like the cat.
Oh.
Then it looks sort of like a cape or quilt that's drawn over her shoulders like a cape. With a collage of pictures and a big old picture of Meredith in the middle, and it says Meredith across the top and a big 13 below it. So
she kind of dressed up like a red Meredith cat theme, kind of.
Yes.
That's neat.
Yes.
I
precisely.
Like it.
Precisely. Thanks for the picture, Beatrice. Anyway, the next one is a text message from Ashley who said, you know you're Swiftie when you hear some people bragging about how much they know about 1D. And you completely blow them away with Taylor Swift facts.
Oh, I love Taylor Swift facts.
You know what? I've got a funny story.
Go.
So, Steve.
Go ahead.
So, I was out one time. I went to Denny's for breakfast with a friend of mine and his girlfriend at the time. And his girlfriend was a very big Taylor Swift fan and is like, I know so much about Taylor Swift. Now, this was before I started the podcast, before I started the website, all that stuff, when I was still researching. So I knew quite a bit about Taylor because I was reading about her all day, every day, prepping myself to launch this podcast and website and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you think you know a lot about Taylor, huh? It's like, let's have a little trivia contest. And, needless to say, I was the victor of that contest.
That's cool.
That's like on Taylor Talk when you always give us all these trivia questions that I don't know the answer to, and you make me question how much of a Swiftie I really am.
Steve, that's because you're not really a Swiftie.
I am a Swiftie. I know a lot of things, just not everything. You always come up with the questions that are like you know, out there that I wouldn't know.
The very obscure questions, like,
yeah, but they're good. They're good questions. So
like, what is the length of Taylor's big toenail?
Ew. Well, we don't need to talk about that.
Is it 20 millimeters? Is it 15 millimeters?
I think we need to move on.
Hey, Steve, the next one's on you. It's up to you to transition out of my rambling here.
All right. Well, the next one comes from Sophie via email, and it's, you know you're Swifty when you don't think Adam's jokes are that bad.
Hey. Oh, what convenient timing for that.
Maybe
one.
She laughed at the toenail joke.
Probably not.
You guys are haters.
Not haters. I just know the truth, and the jokes are...
Steve's
mediocre at best. I don't know.
Well, let's get another mini segment. This one is a voicemail from Jess.
Hi, this is Jess. You know you're Swifty when you name your most listened to playlist Cray Cray for Tay Tay and it has all of Taylor Swift's songs on it. Bye.
That's a cute name for a playlist. I like it.
That's pretty cool.
Diane's Cray Cray for Tay Tay.
Yeah.
I think we all are.
We all are. We love Tay Tay.
We're all cray cray for Tay Tay.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Did you know that I totally messed that up. But you know you're Swifty whenever you hear a banjo, you expect Should Have Said No to start playing. And that came from Red T Swift 13 through email.
Interesting.
I actually hear Mean instead for that.
Yeah,
because
Mean
instrument.
Uses a banjo in the actual live performance, so maybe that's where you're getting your reference from, Diane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Both are good choices. All right, and the next one came from Rebecca via text message, and it's you know you're a Swifty when you leave your house saying, I turn the lock and put my headphones on.
Turn the lock and put my headphones on. I actually have a routine for when I leave my house. I always
you're
make
so
sure.
You're so OCD about it.
I am not. I like to make sure that my dogs are safe inside and that all the doors are locked and nobody can get in and hurt my doggies.
Oh.
And no one can go, who let the dogs out?
Oh my gosh. If anybody gets that reference, please let us know.
Oh, here,
of course
wait,
they would
trivia,
get it.
Trivia. Who performs that song?
Baha Men.
Baha Men.
There you go.
Don't
yeah,
even mess around
in
with
the
Baha Men. Steve, I have their whole album, all right?
Really?
I do, and I know there are other songs like they've. If I heard one of them, I would be able to sing along. It's been a few years, but yeah.
Okay.
And finally, we have a voicemail from Catherine.
Aw, last one of the episode.
Hey, it's Catherine. You know you're Swifty when you listen to Taylor talk while you're doing your workout.
Ooh, good job.
Nice.
Hey, I just admire you for working out. It's more than I do. Diane, do you listen to Taylor talk when you work out?
No, but I listen to other podcasts.
How dare you?
Oh, sorry. I just don't like to listen to my own voice a lot, so that's why.
So you listen to other podcasts, you don't like listen to music? Like, I always have to have like all those like crazy, like, you know, Survivor, like Eye of the Tiger and that kind of stuff.
Yes, I love
it's
songs like that to work out
to. Eye of the
it
Tiger,
so powerful.
It's the thrill of the fight. That one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, the my new song that's kind of on terms with that would be Katy Perry's Roar.
Yes.
It's such a great song, especially like being a champion and all that. Like, I swear, like, she has built like the best thing for like sporting events now. I know that I talked about sports last week and that kind of derailed and everything else like that. But, you know, I that's something that I swear they're going to play at every stadium during games now.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Next time you're on the treadmill, I'm going to be standing next to you singing into your ear.
Ooh, I'm going to run really, really fast.
Good.
It'll get you in shape.
Try to get away and then find out that I can't because I'm on a treadmill and I'm not going anywhere.
Alrighty. So thank you to everybody who sent in mini segments. We had quite a few voicemails, which we love, of course. Keep
that
those
awesome.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Three of them this episode.
Wow.
Sometimes we don't even have any. Thumbs up to you, voicemail people. Moving on to our main discussion. Again, I want to preface this by saying we're going to be going in depth into the Red Tour, into each of the performances. So if it's something that, you know, you're planning on seeing in Australia or New Zealand, just tune us out. See you later. See you next week.
Unless you like spoilers.
Unless you like spoilers. Then you can stay with us here. Otherwise, actually, if you don't want spoilers, tune in on, don't forget our Thursday releases now, our little open discussion ones that we don't really talk about anything except for, well, random
Taylor
stuff.
Except for Taylor, which is normal.
Yeah, but it's all disorganized and we don't edit it or anything, so it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, it's more like you're having lunch with us than listening to us on like a... Anyway, yeah, keep going.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So before we get going into this, you know, I reviewed all the videos and I have to give a mad shout out to someone. I don't even know who this person is, but Philly Jugglers on YouTube videotaped the entire concert from the pit with a very steady hand, never shaking, got all the monologues, everything, and numbered them in order 1 through 17 or however many there are.
They filmed the whole concert?
The whole concert.
They must be buff, or at least they must have been by the end of it to hold the camera up so steady.
And it was very steady. Cool. So shout out to Philly Jugglers. Those are going to be the videos that we actually use in the episode guide for this episode. So if you want to see the entire show from the pit, you know, go check out Philly Jugglers videos in our episode guide, which will be at taylortalk.org/episode85. That is taylortalk.org/episode85.
Who the heck was that?
I don't know. Someone just like jumped in there. That was weird.
That was so, the special plus version of Adam.
Let's
Adam 2.0.
Yeah.
Oh, Steve. So, I mean, let's kick it off, of course, with let's go in order. State of Grace, the first one, the big show opener, the stadium shaker, the big crusher. What did you guys think?
Oh, gosh. This
sorry.
Song got
actually,
so
hang
pumped.
On. Time what? Out. Time out. I wanted you guys to know that while we're recording this right now, Beatrice, you sent the picture, just emailed back.
She did?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not about the picture. Obviously, she hasn't heard this episode.
Like,
we're still in the middle of recording it. She just emailed again. Yeah, no, it's not live. This isn't live. We're recording.
We should do a live episode.
No. Oh,
we should. If people want us to do a live episode, give us feedback. So, Diane, I interrupted you. What were you saying about State of Grace?
Oh, I just said that, like, this song got me so pumped for the whole show because, you know, she, like, you know, there's all these big, like, drums and guitar and this big music, and suddenly you just see her on, like, this red cloth, and it's just her shadow, and it just blew me away.
Right.
Well, that's something you can use for the episode guide.
What?
I got one of those, was it the, oh, crap. Can't remember.
What, a picture? What's,
no, like that little 15-second recording thing that you can do. I can't think of it.
A Vine?
A Vine, yes. I have a Vine of just that happening, and then it happens again, and then it happens again, and then it happens again with just the curtain falling. Like, that's cool.
That is cool.
You should send me that, and I'll put it on.
Sweet.
So, personally, I think State of Grace was the perfect opener for this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting, because remember when the first album came out, or when the Red album first came out, sorry, mixed up my words there, Rolling Stone magazine described it as, like, U2-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of why it was such a good big opener. And something kind of neat is about how powerful the song was. If you guys noticed, there wasn't really a whole lot of choreography. The dancers weren't out for that song. It was Taylor and the agency and her backup singers. Are her backup singers considered part of the agency now, the new ones?
I would consider them part of the group. I'm not sure.
Either way, it was a smaller group on stage, you remember. And there was a little bit, I mean, the people on stage were moving with the music, but it wasn't this whole big choreographed number like some of the later ones. So I think it was a great opener to the show.
Do you know why I think it's a great opener?
Tell us, Steve.
Because, and I'm probably weird for this, I know that most people these days have playlists, but I like to listen to an album straightway through from beginning to end. And to start the show off with the same song that you start the album off with is, to me, perfect.
Right.
Okay, so it made you feel good in a kind of OCD
sense? It was like
sense.
I knew that it was like starting the whole Red CD, roughly. Give or take the order a little bit. But it, like, when I hear the very... Because it actually, State of Grace has like a huge intro at the beginning. A lot more than most songs start out, because I think what they say, if it's like longer than like 5 seconds or something like that, it's actually too long for an intro. I heard that at one point in time. I don't remember what the story was.
I want to say the intro to this song is like 27 seconds or 20 seconds.
How about 22? Let's go with 22 seconds.
22 is average.
Who knows if that's accurate.
It's
Steve,
something around there.
Steve, yes. On a complete side note, another podcast I just joined as a host recently. Actually, I don't even know if I'm a host or not, but I've been on several episodes. It's called Hogwarts Radio. It's a Harry Potter podcast. We actually got called out on that show by a listener of that show who emailed in and was like, you guys need to make sure you always have the facts entirely accurate all the time.
So we try.
I'm passing that information on to you now with this 22
do you want me
seconds
to check
that you're
real
making
fast
up.
So we know.
It's not that important. It's just a long intro. That's all
it
okay
is. A longer intro. That's really my point. The actual number of seconds, not important.
Right. But there's definitely a reason that song is the opener of both the album and of the show.
Right.
And that's the power that it was in. You know, something somebody said to me, a Taylor Talk listener, when the Red Tour first started, is they're like, Adam, you totally predicted that it would be the first show or first song in the show. And I'm like, yeah. But in all actuality, and this is my confession, I don't remember ever making that prediction. But if I did on an old episode, awesome.
I believe you did.
I did?
I was there, yes. Oh. And you said that. I don't know which one it was, but I know you said it on an episode.
Well, considering we've got 85 episodes now, I can't remember what I said in all of them.
I'm sure someone can.
I doubt it. I talk too much.
Yes, he does.
So, State of Grace, anything else on that, or do we move on to Holy Ground?
Let's move on.
Holy Ground. My honest opinion on Holy Ground is I actually, for a while, I forgot it was part of the part of the show.
What? That's like one of the best songs.
Well, the thing is, Steve, is what's the best part about it? It's not that I dislike the song or dislike the act. Is the performance during the song is pretty standard, just regular lights and Taylor singing and whatever.
And she
but
dances.
It's too. The middle part where there are no lyrics that aren't actually part of the song Holy Ground, but is kind of like, I don't even know what to call it. Yeah, I guess an instrumental where they have these amazing, like, colored neon drums, and they have aerialists on the drums going up and down with it, and Taylor does this big drum solo and gets really into it, and I thought that was really cool, and I remember that very distinctly, whereas the rest of Holy Ground, when she's actually singing, don't really stand out in my mind. Mm-hmm. But I do suggest watching the video of that if you haven't seen it for that drum solo in the middle, because that was awesome.
I always like there's that little microphone holder thing on the side so she can throw a microphone in there so she can hit the drums with two hands.
Oh, I didn't even notice that, but that's...
I haven't noticed that either.
That would make sense.
I don't know. It's just like some of the weird things that sometimes I'm like, oh, look at that. There's like a little holder. Because obviously she has her microphone when she, you know, is coming back to where the drums are. So she throws it in there and starts banging away. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Does a little bit of the hair flipping and everything else like that, too. You know, the Taylor loves that part.
I do love the hair flipping. I love the pictures of Taylor mid-hair flip when she looks like a hedgehog.
I have one of those. I was so happy I got that picture.
That's always a success. You take a picture like that, you're like, yes.
No derailing it. No derailing.
Sorry, holy ground.
Diane.
I liked it. I can kind of see how you've forgot the song in a way, because it kind of blends with the first song. You know, she doesn't stop and talk to the audience at all. She just goes straight into it. So I can see how it kind of blends for you in your mind. But I mean, I like the song. It's very, I guess, like high, you know, it makes you dance. It's
high
just,
energy.
Yeah. It's a good song. So
those two songs both help lead into that high energy. And then, of course, Taylor does do a monologue, which is probably her cheesiest monologue in the show, if I'm being quite honest, where she's like,
see a lot of colors, and you're gonna see one color in particular.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys know
what color that is? Oh no, Taylor, I don't know. You only named your album Red.
Yeah, but she has to say stuff like that. She's gotta tease us.
Right. Yeah.
And if you only hear it once, I mean, it's a lot, you know. But when you hear it more than once, then it, you know.
No, Steve, the first time I saw the Red show, I thought it was cheesy then, too, to be honest.
All right, that's fine.
But I don't think she wasn't going for something that was cheesy. I'm sure she knew very well how corny it sounded.
I think it was a space filler. I feel like a lot of her longer monologues are just space fillers for her crew, her dancers, her band, whoever, to make costume changes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Because there's also instrument solos, which, of course, we'll talk about in a little bit, where she's doing her costume changes, so... but yeah, so Red, the song itself, I kind of like that that's the first time Taylor herself actually pulls out her guitar. She got that red electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls out.
I think Paul has a matching one.
Yeah, he does, because at the end of the catwalk, they do a guitar duet, which adds like a lot of power to the song, I think. Because Red, well, it's a fun song, and I like this song. I don't know if it's necessarily the most powerful song the way like State of Grace or Holy Ground were before it.
I think it is powerful, but it is definitely like a little bit of a notch down compared to the other two.
Right.
But I mean, she still like starts the show with some big high energy songs.
It's not as upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is the difference. It's not as upbeat as like Holy Ground is, but it is really powerful in terms of the guitar and everything else like that. I mean, that's like a huge focus is the whole guitar thing.
Right. Now, something I also like with Red is that was the first song in the performance I actually noticed her use of the screens in the background, and she has, it almost looks like colored water drops.
I think it's red paint.
Red paint, yeah.
It kind of looks like blood a little bit if you don't really think about it, but then you have to realize, oh no, it's just paint. It's just paint splatters.
Right, where in State of Grace and Holy Ground before it, those screens are pretty much just used for colors and patterns and stuff like that, where this is the first time you actually see any sort of animation, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that. So I thought that was a good use of the screens, and I thought the guitar duet with Paul was pretty cool. Paul obviously being one of her guitarists.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys have nothing to say about Red anymore, we'll move on.
Yep, let's move on to the fourth song. And what's that one, Adam?
Diane's absolute favorite of the performance, You Belong With Me.
Let's clarify this. I love that song. I've loved it since it came out, but I love it because of, you know, that song is fun and it's just like a really classic song for me. But in this performance, she changed it to almost be like this 1960s Motown style version. And at first I was like, oh, this is really cool, because I love things that are old, you know.
Vintage.
Yeah, vintage like that. But
we don't call it old anymore. It's called vintage.
Okay,
that's
vintage.
New. That's the buzz. That's the buzzword. Hashtag
that's the right word
vintage.
To use.
Yes.
But I didn't feel like it fit that song because I wanted to hear the song how it was supposed to sound, because that's how I'm used to hearing it. And when she changed it, it kind of irked me a little bit and I got bored.
I think it's difficult too when you're singing along and then all of a sudden something changes and you don't know it's changing, so you can't really sing along with it.
Yeah.
I think that's half the fun of the concert, but I mean, talking about, you know, some of the instrumental solos being space fillers, if I'm being quite honest, I think this particular song was a space filler for the agency to go do their costume changes. Because if you remember that big red sign, it's got Taylor on top with her backup singers to the sides of her. And it's a very simple performance. It's just them. And on each of the screens below them is their own image,
mm-hmm.
You know, for the people in the back to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was kept simple because I think there was something else going on behind that sign. They were changing the set. They were doing their costume changes because, you know, we'll find out what the next song is in just a moment if you guys don't have anything else to say. But, you know, the next one does have big costumes.
Oh, I guess I'll just throw out. I thought that it was good to kind of change it up. Like, obviously, that is a classic song. But I did kind of like changing it up there a little bit. I mean, I didn't like it as good as the original version, but I thought it was a cool twist. And hopefully, you know, in her next tours, she does bring back some other songs and maybe puts a cool twist on them too.
I don't think changing them up is the problem, Steve. I agree with you that changing them up is nice. I think it's the way it was changed up. And like Diane said, that sort of Motown feel to it. And you got the backup singers doing the oohs, you know, like.
Yeah, it was just so different that I felt like it wasn't the same song anymore.
And it doesn't necessarily capture the essence of the song either.
No, it
like
doesn't.
What the song is about. Because the song is basically, I mean, it's a high school story. It's about a girl who sees the guy she likes with another girl and is like, you belong with me. And, you know, you're
cheer
captain, I'm
up
on the bleachers. And, you know, that doesn't fit in Motown.
No. Well, I mean, it was, they were like, just based on how they were dressed, it was a lot more like kind of like a classic sort of style there with the dresses that they had and such. So yeah, I can see that. It maybe how they were dressed and how the song was performed didn't fit the original style of what the song was geared for. It makes sense.
Right. Now, Steve, we did meet someone who did like the rendition, I guess you can say. So that I really want to throw this out because, I mean, obviously Diane and I don't look that favorably upon this version. Steve, I think you're kind of neutral on it.
Yeah.
But just, I don't want it to seem like it's totally hated on. So, Steve, do you want to tell the story?
Unless you want to tell the story, that'd be fine. I mean,
okay, I'll tell the story.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Steve and I were fortunate enough to meet Brian Mansfield down in the pit. For those who don't know, he's the USA Today Nashville correspondent. He's written about Taylor since she was a 15-year-old girl and, you know, is very familiar with her career and knows her pretty well. He loved it. He was absolutely in love with the performance, and he's far more of a qualified music critic than Steve or Diane or myself. You know, so it isn't really, it could be a generational gap. I mean, he is an adult. He's of a different generation than we are. Maybe that's why he appreciates it a little bit more, but, I just wanted to tell that story briefly so people know this song isn't entirely hated on. You know, there are people that really like this rendition.
And it's just not for me. It's kind of how it's been, you know, to be able to adapt a song like that to kind of make it new again. I think that's kind of what it is.
Make it new by making it old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it
how about
vintage.
That?
Make it vintage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that was the right song to be vintage. Of course, it could have been made vintage as a lead into the next song, which was The Lucky One. Now, The Lucky One, I cannot speak highly enough about that performance because that is how I envisioned it in my head.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah, she literally tells the story. It opens with, you know, an on-screen action, which shows Taylor, you know, pre-filmed thing, shows Taylor, like, in a dressing room as if she's a star from, what era would you guys say that was?
I would say 1950s, 1960s, maybe?
I'd or go 40s? Earlier than that. I'd 40s, go, like, 30s and, like, kind of golden age of Hollywood. That would be, like, okay. 20s, 30s, 40s. That's kind of when all the, you know, actresses and such. I mean, some of the names that you could still recognize today, regardless if you've seen them or not, they're big names.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then basically from there, that opening video, it leads into basically when Taylor gets on stage, actually acting out the character in The Lucky One. And something I actually noticed was it was very reminiscent of the Speak Now tour in the sense that it told a story. That was the first one in this show that told a story on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved that. You know, she had like these, you know, she had all the fans trying to take pictures of her and fans like, you know, screaming because they were in love with her. And it was very much like a story theater kind of feel.
Right. And of
Adam,
course,
Adam, you know, I think there was the one performer up there, I think Adam and I both thought was like completely hilarious.
The
so there
funniest
was, like,
one. Oh,
the
my God. The
fangirling girl.
Yeah.
Like, white glasses. And she was like the poodle skirt or whatever she happened to have on there. And she was just like fangirling over like Taylor. And then there's another girl that they kind of had as like, you know, the up and comer that, you know, and she was fangirling over her and just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe, you know, and that kind of stuff. And that she was just probably the most, you know, that was like I'd focus in on her like almost the entire time there because she was just so good at what she was doing.
She was absolutely hilarious. You know, she kept going like, oh, my God, it's Taylor Swift, and, like, pointing at her. It was the funniest thing.
Oh, that was great.
And, of course, what I was hinting at earlier, Steve, and you even touched on it by talking about her, like, I don't think it was an actual poodle skirt. It was just kind of that style.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the skirt that goes out.
But the costumes were very big. You have, like, those guys that looked like the old New York paparazzi, you know, with the suspenders and the big cameras, and they're
with
taking
the big
pictures.
Flashes,
and
yeah.
So, yeah, the costumes were just, like, really cool and really big. And that's, like, why I said, you know, maybe on You Belong With Me, why they kept it so simple. Because all the dancers, the agency, they were all, like, backstage kind of making their costume change.
Mm-hmm. Adam, one thing I wasn't – I don't know. It took me a while to even figure this out. But I swear, so Taylor doesn't actually have a dress on in this particular thing. It's... She has, like, shorts and like almost like a dress sort of
like
know
a cape almost like
yeah.
It comes part of the way but it leaves her leg showing in the front.
I mean it's kind of a cool look but I don't know if it really kind of fits like the classic Hollywood style. Like I wish she had more of like almost like the kind of dress in that she had like when she was like the original little monologue piece there that they show before it starts.
I thought it fit. She had the red thing, right? It was red dress or whatever.
Yeah, but it wasn't quite a dress.
It wasn't like
though.
A dress though. It was like shorts with like a cape thing.
Was it? I need to go look at that.
Yeah, Adam, there were shorts underneath.
Yep.
I don't even know.
Well,
like...
hang on. Let's look ahead really quick. What was after that? Mean is after that. Which
Mean
oops,
is
spoiler.
After that.
Did she wear shorts for that? Because
no,
I feel like
she had like a little skirt on. She kept the top piece on, but she put like a skirt on over it that was white.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I'm looking
assume,
it up right
I assume
now.
She had shorts on under that. Like the thing with the cape and shorts thing, or cape skirt, whatever you want to call it, I don't know if that's a style of dress that anyone has ever worn before. In like the history of the world that I know of.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. No, that's I see what you're saying. She's got the shorts underneath, whatever, but like right. With the one leg thing. Okay, here's what it is. Here's my opinion on it. Is mm-hmm. I think they were going for the right look. Do you guys remember that that
Angelina
girl in Looney
Jolie.
Tunes that wears the red dress with the hair
yeah,
over
but,
one
but
eye?
Jessica Rabbit?
Jessica what? Rabbit, but she has the slit on the side. This was a slit like down the middle.
Okay, well, I think it's a similar style, but what it is the reason she has those shorts things underneath is because of certain poses when she's laying on the couch, things like that. She doesn't want people seeing up her dress from the audience. Like, she has to wear shorts like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but couldn't the shorts still be there and then she wouldn't have the slit in the front? She could have a slit on the side or no slit at all?
Diane, I'm not her costume designer.
You know what?
You guys
Maybe
noticed
there's
this.
A slit
I didn't.
In the front to make it easier for her to walk because that is a long dress. Like, it was on the floor.
That could have been it, too. It could be easier for her to walk and move around and dance and whatever she was doing.
It was interesting. That was
I'm just
kind
trying
of
to answer Steve's
like,
question.
Yeah, it's okay.
But, I mean, I still think that as a performance, though, the Lucky One really captured the
it
song.
It was. The whole Red Studios logo at the beginning and all that. It was cool. I like it.
It was
yeah,
very,
was
very,
one of my,
very
one of my
cool.
favorites.
Right. So, since I already spoiled it, the next one in the lineup was Mean. Something I really liked about Mean is it paid its respect to the Speak Now tour. Like, did you guys notice where they're standing? It was the old Speak Now logo, you know, the part that was above the stage with the TS in the Satisfaction font.
Yep.
So it kind of paid its respect. And then, you know, I don't know what you guys, where you guys were sitting or where you may have seen it from, but the whole stage was a merry-go-round. I don't know if you noticed
that.
It was really cool.
She used the screens in the background. She used the screens across the top. And it was a merry-go-round with the horses going up and down.
Adam likes a merry-go-round.
Isn't that a carousel? Isn't that the right word to be using?
I think they're the same thing. I believe it depends on what kind of things you have on the contraption, if there are bears or rabbits and whatever, or if it's just the horses.
Hey, Steve, Diane.
Depends.
Yes.
Taylor talk, not carousel talk.
Well, Steve asked a question.
But
sorry.
You know, something unique about that, though, is for the different perspectives. I think it's very, very interesting to me how Taylor can give different people in the same show, in the same room, a different show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see where I'm going with that?
Absolutely.
Because if you're up in the pit or you're close to the stage, you don't see the whole merry-go-round.
Mm-mm.
Or carousel.
No, because you're way too close.
Whichever it is. But if you're in the back, you get to see the whole picture. You may not see Taylor herself as close, but you get to see the whole picture. And it's very, very cool, in my opinion.
Heck yeah.
That is neat.
That was just a good song, I think, to pay respect to Speak Now tour, though, because, you know, Mean. Speak Now.
Yeah. Right?
Next song. Interesting one, because it didn't make it through the whole tour.
Oh, makes me so sad.
Right. Stay, Stay, Stay. First off, why do you guys think they would take that out? How does that make any sense?
I think they took it out because there was really no set change or, like, change at all from the mean performance. Like, she wore the same outfit. They didn't do anything different with the background or the stage or anything, so...
But then why wouldn't they take out Mean? Because that was on the previous album. Stay, Stay, Stay is on Red.
Yeah,
maybe
but Mean's
they thought,
a big song, though.
Yeah, Mean is a huge song, and Stay, Stay, Stay is a little bit more minor. At least, you know, it wasn't as popular as Mean is.
But Stay, Stay, Stay is such a fun song off of Red. Like, if it were me, that wouldn't be the song I'd leave out.
Plus, it was always a good chance for her to shout out to the football stadium or something along the lines of that. I know that she, like, when she was in Washington, D.C., she yelled out about a Redskins helmet because that's obviously the Washington Redskins.
Oh, like, there. That's when I came, or when he came in wearing a Redskins helmet, like, changed
right.
Like
yeah.
That.
That's what mm-hmm. she did. And like, and it was funny because there was all these things, like I saw like Fox Sports was like, oh, she's pandering to the fans. And it's like, that's what everybody does.
Yeah, you know, that's not a bad thing.
No, you go to the thing and, you know, that's the same thing where it's like, you know, at the beginning where it's like, oh, hello, Nashville or hello, whatever city. You know what I mean? That's what you do. You want to make sure that they feel like, hey, I'm here in your city to perform. So, you know, that was kind of fun when she was doing that. That was my big one was when I was at MetLife Stadium there in New Jersey because the New York Giants and the New York Jets play there. And I was like, was she going to say Jets helmet or is she going to say Giants helmet? And I think she just said football helmet. So she didn't.
Keep it neutral.
Yeah, keep it neutral. So I thought that was even funny when she did that. But yeah, I really like that song. I was disappointed to see that go away.
Right. And, you know, this may or may not make sense, but, you know, speculating is what we do here. And, you know, she did mix it up with Ho Hey by the Lumineers. I'm wondering if maybe the Lumineers gave her a hard time.
Why would they give her a hard time, though? Because she was out there singing their song.
I don't know.
Like,
why.
That could only be good for them.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just speculating. That could have nothing to do with it. I'm just speculating, wondering, questioning.
It's an educated speculation. I'll go with that. I mean, it's hard to say.
Right.
It could just be time, too. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes the certain times the venues need to be done and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, based on if she does, you know, certain songs or special guests or anything like that can kind of control the length of time the show goes. So it may change.
Oh, that's
so
true.
She may
that's
need to
true,
cut it down
but
for
Steve,
time.
If you remember correctly, in Nashville, when she had the special guest, she removed Begin Again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I actually think she did that because she was sick, because she sang it the first night and she had Luke Bryant come out that night.
That's true.
Boom. Diane.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I guess what disappoints me a little bit about Stay is I could be biased, but Amos is one of my favorite agency members. He's the bass player. Mm-hmm. And Stay, whereas we were talking earlier about during Red, how Paul has his solo on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Amos has his solo on the bass during Stay, and he's spotlighted, and he gets to do his little thing with Taylor.
Right,
yeah,
I do. Yeah,
and you
that
completely
was
lost that.
Yeah, so Amos kind of got...
It maybe could be that, though, too, because she actually does, like, introduce him, which is rather rare. Like, she, other than, I think, at, what, the end of Speak Now, where she kind of introduced, like, the band, that kind of stuff, like, she really doesn't put the, you know, like, there are a lot of performers that are like, oh, and so on bass and this on drums and all that. And Taylor, I don't know if she did that maybe on Fearless, but I know on, you know, Speak Now, she really didn't do that. And she didn't do it on Red other than for him. And maybe that was like, people were like, oh, well, you're favoring Amos. That's not fair. So then she's like, well, you know what? Let's just cut that out. So there's no, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, Steve, like she could have easily taken out his introduction and still given him his solo because Paul's solo was still there.
True. True, but she did introduce him, so I don't know if that may, you know.
And then also later on, Steve, you're going to have to help me out on this one because I'm drawing a blank on his name, but on the piano solo.
David?
I think so.
David Cook? Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are other agency members that have solos.
Yeah, but she actually announced Amos's name, which
right,
I think
is which
different.
Is why I'm saying she doesn't have to. She could have easily
true.
Taken that out and still kept in the whole song and
right.
his solo.
Plus, that was a great tour thing that people dressed up with. I saw so many people that had, like, iPhones, like, glued to a helmet, like,
football
helmets.
I saw that, too. That was cute.
It's cute.
And yeah. Not just that. It was a fun one to dance along to. I really liked their choreography to that. It was really simple. It wasn't big and extravagant with all the professional dancers. You know, it was kept within the agency and the singers. But they did, like, you know, with the do do
yeah,
doo,
this little, like,
and they would do
their
head
their
side
hips.
To side with that right. tune. And, you know, and then the part, like, you know, no one else is going to love me when I get mad. You yeah. know, it was funny because then the backup singers kind of put on a pouty face and stomped to the ground and, you know, got into it. So
do we know roughly when they stopped doing that? Because I mean,
I want to say they stopped doing it whenever there was like that rainstorm on the East Coast. Do you remember that, where they had to push the show back because they thought it was going to rain?
Was that in Philadelphia, I think?
Yeah, and then she cut it from the set list, and then she never put it back.
Oh.
I don't remember, Steve.
I do. You are right on that, Diane. I do believe she cut that from Philadelphia, at least. Was that the first night or the second night? I don't remember which one the bad weather was. That would be a Maya question.
Yeah, because Maya was there.
Yes, we'll have to save that for later. But yeah, it is interesting that they took that out like completely after that. Maybe it just wasn't as successful. You know, they looked out in the audience and they're like, well, maybe people aren't getting into this song as much as we hoped. I mean, it was kind of a little bit of a, you know, it's a slower.
That's tough to
song.
Say, Steve, because I mean, they're, well, you know, I don't know the logistics of that go into putting a show like this together, but there's other songs I would have cut before a dance song, something
like
that people
what?
Can get their groove on. What?
You got an example?
Yeah, I mean, people are going to hate on me for this, but I mean, Treacherous, that's not a dance song.
No, but it was so cool, though.
We can talk about that when we talk about that, because I have some stuff to say about that, too, Adam.
Okay,
you know what?
We're about halfway through the Red Tour now, so I think we can do one more song, 22, which was the song she used to transition to the B stage, which was like, well, halfway. So we'll end
there
it on that one and then do the second half next week. What do you guys think?
We'll take an
that
intermission.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah.
Yeah, an intermission. So 22, what do you guys think? Awesome? Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say
it was fun. That and that's how 22 is when you listen to the song. It was a very fun sort of song.
Well, something I liked a lot, and not just because I liked watching it, but also because I think it's something unique to Taylor, is when she opened it up, she showed clips. She did the reel of her home movies while everyone was backstage doing their wardrobe changes. She showed clips of reels starting at 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, up to 22, and they were all her home movies. And I think that's something so unique that Taylor does, because it really gives us insight into her childhood, into her home life, into her family. And it really creates that emotional bond where you're like, oh, my gosh, I love Taylor. She's one of us.
Right.
Yeah, because it, you know, it like shows that, oh, she's a real person. You know, she had her dad read to her these little books and all of that. And it just makes us know her even more. And that's just great. Like that, you know, like that. Friendship connection almost,
right.
Even though we're not friends with Taylor, but we like to imagine we are.
get in her first guitar and bang around on the piano, and I love the fact that there were like little clips of like songs that have never been released, like Lucky You. That's what's kind of funny is like everyone's always like, she needs to put Lucky You on an album, you know. That's a real old song of hers. And it's always good because you're like, hey, I'm on the Red Tour and I'm hearing Lucky You.
Oh my gosh, Steve, do you know what's funny about that?
What's that?
The girl's name in that song was Lucky, right? The name of the singer that she played during the Lucky one, the name on the door was Lucky.
This is true.
So it's like she brought that back. Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Look how smart she is.
Diane's having an epiphany.
I am.
So, I mean, if they're... you know, is anything truly unique to definitely watch the video of. If you didn't get a chance to go to the Red Tour, definitely look at 22 and look for those home videos. And then after, obviously, when she comes out on stage, it's a huge dance number where everybody's dressed in fun, bright colors. A lot of dancing.
Oh, yeah, so much
dancing.
All
the Letterman jackets and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Letterman jackets, which I did find interesting thinking back to it. Perhaps I'm being too critical, but Letterman jackets I associate with high school, and 22 years old, you are well out of high school.
You should be, at least.
Well, maybe Diane wasn't out of high school yet by 22, but...
I am 22 and I'm out of high school.
Okay.
Nice. That is a good point. I didn't think of that, Adam.
So,
yeah, you're right. That doesn't really fit.
I don't know if the costumes necessarily fit, but I could perhaps be being too critical because I did think it was one of the most fun songs of the night in terms of dancing.
Plus, it makes
dancing.
You want to buy one of those jackets, too.
Those expensive jackets?
Yeah, those like $500 jackets.
They're
not
$500.
Much.
They're like, what, $200-something, but they
okay,
are cool.
$200.
They're cool.
Yeah, so, and then of course she uses that as a transition, which is kind of neat. She falls into what looks like the crowd, really. It's her dancers that catch her, and they carry her back to the B stage, then they finish up their dance number on the B stage and finish 22 back there.
And then she kind of gives a shout out to the dancers there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah.
Gosh, she even gives credit to the dancers and cut out Amos's credit.
I don't know.
You're so upset.
I'm upset on his behalf. It's not fair. I'm kidding.
He'll get over it, I'm sure.
I think he will. He's one of the oldest agency members. He's been around for a long time, and I'm sure he'll be around for a long time to come.
Forever.
Forever.
Like ever.
Yes, Steve. Way to bring that back to Taylor Swift and away from the Sandlot.
Yeah. So, intermission time. We're going to be finishing up next week, next Monday. Finish the second half of the Red Tour set list. Remember,
however,
guys,
in the Red Tour, there was no intermission. I guess we should be clear on that.
There wasn't, but I think people have I think people have more patience to sit through 2 hours of Taylor than 2 hours of Taylor talk. So we'll keep this one down to, well, where we're at right now, about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, however long.
Yeah,
it's
we're,
been.
Yeah, we're fine.
Cool.
I think we're okay with an intermission. Hopefully people don't get too mad at us. But remember, guys, to watch the videos. You know, we're going to have them up at taylortalk.org/episode85. If Steve wants me to do the voice again, I'll do taylortalk.org/episode85.
That wasn't as cool as the last voice. I don't know what you did differently on the other voice, but no, that one was okay.
I think I just caught you off guard on the other one where you saw it
maybe,
coming this time.
Maybe.
Maybe that was it. So, before we sign off, I do need to answer that trivia question. It's a good thing I left myself a note to do that because I forgot.
Oh, yeah,
I was
going to
remind
number.
You, but it was in the episode guide, so I figured you could figure it out on your own. You didn't need
thank
help.
You, Steve.
Yes.
So the answer to the trivia question. Well, first, the trivia question was how many. I rephrase it. Taylor said number of people. I say number of tickets sold because there were so many repeat customers for her. I don't know how. Well, there were. So I'm changing the question to how many tickets sold. Do either of you remember offhand? Diana,
I want to say the number involves a 13 and or a 7 because that would help you remember it.
Ooh, you're onto something. You remember I said something about something helps me remember it.
Remember,
I did. Yeah.
The correct answer for those who don't know is 1.3 million.
Oh.
Oh.
So 1.3 million people attended the Red Tour.
Or 1.3 million tickets were sold for the Red Tour.
Whatever the source of their number, there's a 1.3 million that Taylor announced at the end of the Nashville show.
1.3 million Swifties.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of people that showed up to her concerts and hopefully loved it as much as we did.
Yes.
Yes.
Hopefully don't hate on us for being critical of some of the performances right now.
I think you're the only one who's being critical.
No, Diane didn't
no,
like
it
you.
No, was me. I was the one was being critical. It's okay. I
it was constructive criticism. That's the best kind.
Yeah,
I
hope
so.
Exactly.
I hope she doesn't listen and be like, oh my God, that Diane, she's so mean.
Yeah. Diane will never be allowed in a concert again.
I'm sorry, Taylor. I love you.
Next tour when she sings mean and be like, this one goes out to my friend Diane, who ripped on me about the last tour. No,
right.
She wouldn't do that.
Or at an award show on TV in front of like 30 million people instead of just 1.3 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll be like, Diane, you're going down. There's nothing I do better than revenge. Taylor puns.
Okay. Can we pick on somebody else in this group right now?
If you want to.
Sure, Steve.
I'm about to talk. Adam.
Oh.
So we got a submission from this person on Twitter named absurd_pride. And they said, Adam is so vain. He likes it when people send in Adam is so vain mail.
It's true.
That is not true.
Do you
That's
like
absolutely
it?
Absolutely true.
That is not true.
I bet you he's smiling right now.
I am not.
People are saying his name. That's all that matters.
I'm doing no such thing, Steven.
You're doing your sad face from Stay, 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 your pouty face like the dancers, huh?
I am doing my pouty face. I am not a happy Adam now.
No, you are. So keep sending in your Adam is so vain
or
tweets.
Or don't, because it makes me look really bad.
No, it doesn't. It just shows that you're so vain. You probably
it's
think this podcast
joke.
Is about you.
No, it's about Taylor.
It is about Taylor.
Steve. Anyway, guys, if you want to submit to any of the mini segments except for Adam is so vain, because that one doesn't exist anymore, Remember, you can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to taylortalk13. Remember, guys, for our midweek episodes, we always answer your Ask FM questions. That's at ask.fm/taylortalk13. Keep questions coming in there. You can email us, or sorry, I already did that one. I can't do this routine anymore.
You're getting lost.
Yeah. I don't understand why you just don't record that segment and just put it in at the very end. Just play it. It'll be done.
Or at least just have it written down so you read it.
Because yeah. I like to test my memory. It keeps my mind sharp sometimes.
Okay. Well, you're lost right now. You've lost me.
No, I know exactly where I am. If you are in the U.S. or Canada, you can call us, leave us a voicemail, or text us to area code 24031-SWIFT. If you are anywhere else in the world, you can go to taylortalk.org and leave us a voicemail there. And then remember, guys, taylortalk.org/episode85 is where you're going to find all the information that accompanies this episode, including any videos, summary of the episode, etc., etc., etc. So go check out taylortalk.org. You'll never go wrong visiting that website. So for episode 85, this has been Adam.
Diane.
And Adam is so vain. Steve, sorry.
Gosh, I hate Steve.
Oh, that'll be edited out.
I love Steve.
That won't be edited out, Steve. I'm leaving it. I want to make you look like a butthead.
Oh.
So we will see you guys on Thursday for our unedited episode and next Monday for the second half of the Red Tour. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
This podcast is in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.
I'm Batman.